And take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And let's pray. Father God, we praise you for your love, for your goodness. We pray this morning as we look at your word that our hearts would be receptive. Help us, Lord, not only to hear your word, but to apply your word. And I pray, Father, the result would be that great things would happen in our lives. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is National Back to Church Week, and there are several thousand churches around America that are celebrating that today, and I'm glad you've chosen to be here this morning with us as we celebrate that. There are a lot of people who don't go to church anymore. If you have been watching our church sign over the last few weeks, we have been putting up the reasons why people don't. Number one reason people say is, I'm too busy. Don't have time to go to church. Number two reason is people say they have family and home responsibilities, so again, they basically don't have time to go to church. And the third reason was that people are disenchanted with church. They think members are hypocritical. They think people are judgmental, and they get discouraged sometimes with uninvolvement. Maybe you are one of those people who do not regularly go to church. Well, today's a day to talk about church and talk about whether we should go, and if we should go, why we should go. And I would like this morning, if you don't regularly go to church, to convince you why you should. And I would like to this morning, if you do go regularly to church, to remind you why you should. You know, I have found sometimes that people who think they're regularly going to church really are not. And I wish that I could take a calendar and mark every time someone's in church and be able to show them how many times they really do miss. Because people miss a whole lot more than they think. So I want to talk about two things this morning. I want to talk about why you should go to church on a regular basis and be involved in a church. And then secondly, I'd like to talk about if you do go to church, why Open Door ought to be the church you should go to. So let's begin with the first one. Why church? Why go to church? Let me say this morning, the basis for everything I'm going to say is going to be God's Word. I had the opportunity to talk to, yesterday, a neighbor of mine. And we were talking about a number of different issues, and this person had a lot of views on a lot of different religious, spiritual, Christian, God-thinking issues. And I didn't get the opportunity to ask her, and I really wanted to, but some things came up, but I didn't. But the thing I wanted to ask her is, why do you believe what you believe? And what is the basis for your belief? Because many people in our world, the reason they believe what they believe is simply because they've chosen to believe it, but not because they've gone to an authority for their belief. Why do you believe you should go to church? Or why do you believe you shouldn't? You might say, well, that's just the way I feel. Or that's just the way I think. Well, there has to be an authority upon which we base what we do, and that authority has to be sound. So this morning, I would like to submit to you the authority for everything we do in life, and the authority for why we should go to church or not go to church is not me. I don't want you to leave this morning and say, well, the pastor said this is what I should do, so I'm going to do that. I am not the authority. And I want you to know this morning that you're not the authority either. What I would like for us to do this morning is I want you in your mind, in fact, if you would for a second, close your eyes, and I want you to pretend that right now standing in front of you is God. So with your eye closed, I want you to picture for a moment that God is standing in front of you. And you are standing there before God with the opportunity to ask this question, God, why should I go to church? And over the next moments, I want to give you what God would say to you. You can open your eyes. And how do I know what God would say to you? Well, because He's already said it. He said it in the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. And in the Bible, there are things that we can find that will tell us why we ought to go to church. So I don't want you going to church for any other reason than God said it, and because God said it, it's the right thing to do. Here's the first thing God would say to you, or here is the first reason. Why should we go to church? Because God has commanded us to go to church. God has commanded us. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 10. I want to begin reading in verse 24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. God commands us to go to church. God commands us. He says, look, don't give up meeting together. Don't give up meeting together. We need to continue. We need to keep meeting together. Now, if God commands it, that settles it. So you only have one of two options. You can either say, I'm going to obey God because God has commanded me, or you're going to say, I don't care what God says. I'm going to do what I want to do. And even though it says here that God says, do not give up meeting together, and this is a command, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do my own thing. Isn't it sad that we are living in a day when God would command us to do things and we would say, so what? Isn't it sad that we're living in a day that God, through His Word, is standing in front of us and God would tell us what we ought to do and commands us as to what we should do, and we say no? He says, don't give up meeting together. Now, there are a lot of people in our day and age that think, I can be a good Christian without going to church. I want you to know you're wrong. You cannot be a good Christian without going to church. How do I know that? Because God commands us to go to church. If we're not willing to obey God's command, then how in the world could we be a good Christian? It's funny, I'll meet people during the week in the mall or wherever, and they'll I don't have to say a word. And they're already giving me reasons why they weren't in church. Or they're already saying, well, you know I wasn't in church, but I pray. Or I wasn't in church, but I read the Bible. Well, I wasn't in church, but I'm a good Christian. No, you're not. If you are not regularly going to church, if you are not regularly involved in a local church, I want you to know you cannot be a good Christian. Because God commands us to go to church. God commands us to go to church. And I want you to notice in this verse, He gives us one of the reasons. Notice verse 25. Let us not give up meeting together. Some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. Let us encourage one another. Do you know that we did not invent support groups? God did. God said, look, days are going to get harder and days are going to get worse. And as we get closer to the Lord's return, we need to be gathering together and we need to be encouraging one another. And I can almost write it down that when you're not in church, the message that you missed was probably the one you should have heard. I see it happen all the time. And I want you to notice, it is also interesting to note that the emphasis here is not what I get out of church, but what I put into church. He doesn't say, stop giving up meeting together so that you can be encouraged. He says, stop giving up meeting together so that you can encourage. You do not go to church because of something you get out of it. You go to church because of what you ought to put into it. People sometimes say, I don't get anything out of church anymore, so I'm not going to go. Well, that's so selfish. That's so selfish. Church is not about what you get out of, it's about what you put in. And I'll tell you what, if you begin to put in, then you're going to get an awful lot out of it. Warren Wiersbe wrote, faithfulness in church attendance encourages others and provokes them toward love and good works. And that's what he talks about here in verse 24, that we are to encourage one another, we are to keep meeting together, and one of the things we do while we do that is we are to encourage one another toward love and good works. God commands us to meet together. It's sad so many say, God, I don't have time. Let me give you a second thing God would say as to why we ought to be in church. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. This is the passage Bob read a few minutes ago. Ephesians chapter 5. Now I want to read it again. It's verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. That's a novel thing, isn't it? That God would have to command us to love our wives. Husbands, love your wives. Love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Why should we go to church? Because God loves the church. God loves the church. In fact, God loved the church so much, he died for it. He reached out his hands, he let people beat him till you could hardly recognize him as a human being, and then he died for the church. Now, how can you say you love God if you don't love what God loves? God loves the church. People say, I love God, but they don't have time for what God loves. People say they love God, but they are busy doing other things instead of being involved in what God loves. People say they love God, but they're too tired to get up on a Sunday morning to go where God loves. People don't have time for God. People don't have time for what God loves, but then when they get in trouble, the very first thing they do is to pray to God, and they expect God to jump. People don't want to do anything with what God loves, the church, but then when they have problems, they want to run to the church. People want nothing to do with God's church, but then they want to come to church for some, the only time ever in their life, except maybe when they're buried, they'll go to church to get married, and they think by doing that, somehow it brings God's blessing on their marriage. But then they don't go to church after they get married, and they didn't go to church before they were married. God loves the church. And if we love God, we love what God loves. Now, you might say, well, I love my spouse, but there are some things my spouse does that I really don't love. Let me say to you this morning, if you love your spouse, you're going to love everything your spouse does. You know, guys, sometimes we say, well, I don't want to go shopping. I hate shopping. Well, if your wife loves shopping and you love your wife, you ought to love to go shopping with your wife. Ladies, if your husband loves something, you ought to love what your husband loves and get involved in what he's doing, or at least go and be part of what he's involved in. Why? Because if you love that person, you're going to love what that person loves. And if you really love God, then you're going to love what God loves. And God loves the church. So if you were to go to trial this morning, and the trial was, we don't believe you love the church. And what we are going to do is we are going to try you and prove that you don't love the church, and you have to defend yourself against that charge. What in your life would show that you love the church? You know, the Bible says that we ought to support the church with our time, with our talent, and with our treasure. And if you're not supporting the church with your time, and with your talent, and with your treasure, then do you really love what God loves? See, we ought to be involved and we ought to regularly go to church because God loves it. If you love Him, you're going to love what He loves. Well, turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Let me give you a third one. Matthew chapter 16. Jesus is talking to Peter. And in verse 17, well, let's go back to verse 16. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Why? Because it was not time yet. But I want you to notice verse 18. And speaking to Peter, he said, "I will build my church." What would God say if He were to stand before you as to why you ought to be involved and regularly go to church? He would say, because this is the church age. We are living in the church age. The Old Testament was the age of the nation of Israel. And Israel rejected the Messiah, so God set Israel aside. And when He set them aside, He began to build the church. We are living in the church age. The church began on the day of Pentecost when God poured out the Holy Spirit on His children, and it will continue up until what the Bible calls the rapture, when Jesus Christ returns for His church. We are living in the church age. The thing that God is working through in this day and age is the church. Most of the New Testament books were written to local churches. The book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, was written to seven local churches. When you look out throughout the New Testament, the Bible speaks of the church, but more often than not, by far, He speaks of a local church. And God wants us to be involved in a local church, because that is what He's building in this day and age. He's building the local church. So I would ask you this morning, do you want to be part of what God is building? Do you want to be part of what God is investing in this day and age? It is the local church. Number four, turn over with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I want to begin reading in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to the number daily those who were being saved. Fourth reason I think God would give you is because of the benefits of being part of a local church. I mentioned before that when we come to a local church, we ought not to sit back and say, all right, what are you going to do for me? But we ought to look to see what we can do for it. But the reality is, as I said, once you begin doing for, you will find that there are many benefits of being part of a local church. All I have to do is point to yesterday when many of us went down to West Pittston and helped Chris and Tammy Hayes, and I spent, along with several others, from about 1 o'clock to about 5 o'clock in mud about this deep, down in her basement, shoveling out mud. And I think the dirtiest of us all was Jaron. In fact, did you make him go home naked yesterday? Jaron had mud all over his body, and down in their basement, it just, I mean, it smelled like you were in a bathroom. And it just horrible. I think he was eating it too, I'm not sure. But there was just mud everywhere. But what happened? A family in a church had a need, and the church came alongside and helped. And we will continue to help. That is why we're taking this love offering today. You know, the church provides a foundation for living. It's the Word of God. The church provides a family for living. It's fellowship. Chris was telling me how some family members have not offered all that our church has offered. And sometimes the reality is that a church can be even closer than physical family members. The church provides a force for living, a relationship with God. The church provides a function for living. We can serve in the church. The church provides a focus for living, going out in this world and inviting people to Jesus Christ. We ought to realize that there are many, many benefits to belonging to a church. And when you have been part of a church, you will find that people are not perfect. In fact, you're not either. You will find that people aren't necessarily hypocritical, at least not as many as you think. They just sometimes fall short of the place they really want to be. In fact, sometimes I have found that the people who point the finger of hypocrisy really ought to just turn around and point it at themselves. Because that's often where the real hypocrisy is. Church people aren't perfect. I believe that all a church really is a hospital. It is a hospital for sinners. For people who are imperfect, for people who have lots of different problems, but for people who have a desire to live for God and have a desire to do what God wants them to do. There are benefits of being part of a local, Christ-centered, Bible-believing church. Number five. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I want you to notice with me verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I want you to notice the family that is to bring their children up to have a relationship with God. And the fathers in particular have that responsibility before God. But I want you to know, next to the family, God has brought in the local church to stand by the family and help the family to raise their children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. The fifth reason God would say is because we are commanded to raise our children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. We are commanded to raise our children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. You know, the church is not a substitute for the home. It is a supplement to the home. And if you can learn, if you in church, you can learn biblical teaching to help you to raise your children. In church, you can learn biblical teaching to learn how to be a good parent. In church, you can learn how to have a family that is blessed by God and a family that knows how to live for God. We live in a society that has kicked God out of our schools. Won't even let our children pray in school anymore. Won't let our children read the Bible in school anymore. Won't let them, even if they choose to do, pray at football games in other places like I did when I went to school. Everywhere you turn, God is being kicked out and God is being thrown further away. Is there any wonder why our society is in the mess that it is in? I want you to know there's not many places you could go anywhere anymore where you will find places that teach about God and teach how to have a family and teach how to raise your children up in the training instruction of the Lord. The place where that happens is the church. And if you wonder why your children, when they get older, no longer go to church and no longer want anything to do with God, maybe either that you didn't bring them to church as they grew up or that you sent them to church when they were growing up and you didn't go yourself. So you taught them that church was not important. It is. God commands us to bring our children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And the church is a great place for that to happen. I want to give you one more. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'll look at a little different verse than I gave in the outline. But let me give you the answer for number 6. If God were standing here, here's what he would say to you. He would say, go to church because that's where the sheep find the shepherd. See, in the Bible, the people who sit in the chairs, they're called sheep. And the person who stands in the pulpit, they're called the shepherd. God or Christ is the chief shepherd. The Bible calls me the under-shepherd. And if you want to go where the shepherd is, the leader of the flock, that place is the church. And why should you do that? Well, I want you to notice in 1 Timothy chapter 4, which is a book in the Bible called the Pastoral Epistle. A pastoral epistle which is there to teach me how to be a pastor. And notice what I am commanded to do. Beginning in verse 15. Be diligent in these matters, give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely, preserve in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Do you know my job is to save you? It says here that I am to preserve in my watching my life and watching my doctrine. That's what I teach. That's what I believe. And I am to do that very close, very meticulously. And if I do that, I will save you and I will save me. It's funny because sometimes I get around people that really don't want to be around me because they're afraid I'm going to try to save them. But that's exactly what God has called me to do. God has called me to save you. What am I to save you from? What am I to say? Well, first of all, your soul. That thing that lives in this body. The thing that is the real you. I'm to save you from Satan's schemes. Those things that Satan does to try to trick you, to try to get you to head down the wrong path. I'm to save you from false teachers. I'm sure you know there's a lot of places you can go, a lot of churches you can go to that never open up a Bible. And if they open up a Bible, it's for a few seconds, they read kind of a little short passage, and then they're done. Just because someone calls himself a pastor or a priest or a rabbi or whatever doesn't mean that they speak for God. The way we find out if they do is we compare what they teach with what God's Word says. And if what they teach is the same thing as what God says, then we know that they're from God. It is in the church where you have that opportunity for me to help save you, to watch over your soul, for I am accountable for that. Now let me get to the second thing, and I'm going to just talk for a minute or two. If God wants us in church, and I think these six reasons I gave you makes very clear that He does, then where ought we to go to church? Well, some people would say, I'm going to go to church where I was born. And since I was born there, you know what? I'm going to die there. And I have people tell me that all the time. I'm going to go to church. I don't care. I don't want to hear anything else. I am just going to go where I was born. Well, what if you were born in another religion? In fact, you might be born in another religion. If you were born in another religion, you might be strapping bombs to yourself and blowing people up. I want you to know, just because you were born in a certain religion doesn't mean that religion is right. Why Open Door? Well, let me first say Open Door is biblical in its beliefs. Open Door is biblical in its beliefs. In other words, what we teach, what we believe here at Open Door, you will find the Bible says exactly what we teach and believe. We are biblical in our beliefs. Everything that we do is based on the Word of God. We always look to God's Word to find out what we should do. Number two, Open Door is biblical in its goals. You know that God's goal for you is, first of all, to save you. And then God's goal is for you, as you get older, you should be becoming more like Jesus Christ every day of your life. God's goal is to take Jesus and take you and have the both of you look the same. So are you becoming more like Jesus, or are you becoming more cranky? Are you becoming more like Jesus, or are you becoming more irritable? Are you becoming more like Jesus, or are you becoming harder to live with? Goal for our church is to help you to become like Christ. And you know what? That's why that motto is right there. Opening doors to God's Word to transform lives for God's glory. That's why we're here. Let me say thirdly, Open Door is biblical in its atmosphere. Open Door is biblical in its atmosphere. I have never met a more loving, caring, forgiving, forbearing group of people than at this church. I saw it yesterday, as many people gave up their time to go spend time with the Haineses and help them through the flood. People here aren't perfect, but they do have a desire to live for God. Why church? God commands it. God loves it. God's building it. There are benefits of being part of what God is doing. God wants you to raise your children up in the church. And God has called men, pastors, to be pastors. And if God didn't want you to be where they were, then why is God calling men from around the world to come and pastor churches? No, the only thing you could say if you're not going to go to church is to say, I really don't care what God says. I'm just going to do my own thing. So why Open Door? Because it is a Christ-centered, Bible-believing church. It is biblical in its beliefs, its goals, and its atmosphere. I guarantee one thing, if you come to this church, you will learn what the Bible teaches, and you will hear what God says. Let's pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you remember I said that God has given me the responsibility to save you. Salvation is not about going to church. It is about a relationship with God. It is about coming to Jesus. Coming to a place where you realize and understand that there's only one way to heaven, and that is through what Jesus did on the cross. It is not just Jesus being the Savior, but it's understanding that He needs to become your personal Savior. It is understanding that in order to get to heaven, you're not going to get there because you're religious, but it's because of what Jesus did on the cross. And I would encourage you this morning, if you never have before, to say to God, "Dear God, I understand that I'm a sinner and that I need Jesus, and that I believe there's only one way to have a relationship with You, and that is through what Jesus did when He died on the cross for my sin. I believe His death is the sole means of getting me to heaven. And right now, I ask You to become my Savior." And because You have become my Savior, because I have requested that, and because You've promised You would, I'll begin to live for You. I'll begin doing what You want me to do out of thanksgiving because of all You've already done for me. I hope if you've never prayed that prayer before, you have this morning. And I hope you will begin to consider the 6 reasons I gave you this morning for regularly, continually being in church. Dear God, we praise You and we thank You that You are a great God. And we pray, Lord, that You might work in our lives. Help us, Father, to be faithful to You as You are to us. And I pray, Lord, not only Your blessing on this service, but Your blessing on the food that is to follow. Do great things in lives, Father, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This time, I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward as we take our morning.